Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. We just have a couple of interesting things to talk to you about today. One of them is an update on a story we did last week, and Terry has that update.
Yeah, this was the story about the 14 dogs that were taken from facilities in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the rescue group that's there is Canine Hope Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, I found out yesterday, because it's all over the internet, that it was actually a hoax.
What on earth prompted these people to do this?
Well, based on the story as it exists today, now still undergoing investigation, mm-hmm. The niece that lived above was supposed to be caring for the dogs and apparently wasn't. So the dogs that were still there were very malnourished, and it was apparently her way of telling people that the dogs were gone without having to take responsibility for the fact that she starved them or whatever she did do to them. The dogs are still missing. They don't know what it is, and she's not saying.
So the dogs are missing. They were not stolen. Something happened to them because of her. We don't know what it is.
Right.
And she was not stabbed by anyone.
Not unless she did it herself. That has not been printed yet. So
okay.
In the original claim, she said she was stabbed by this individual who stole the dogs. You know, I would think that if she's going to claim it, she'd at least cut herself.
One would assume that. But, you know, this is so stupid that it's hard to tell if she actually did that. And what makes me crazy is that we may never know what happened to those 14 dogs. And, you know, this is one of those just such, it's just such a bad news story all the way around, that whatever happened in this rescue group, it just deteriorated to the point where they weren't able to handle it anymore. And instead of reaching out and asking for help, they tried to cover it up.
Yeah, because in the original article, it mentioned the daycare facilities, because it was a regular daycare boarding facilities.
For local dogs.
And then the Canine Hope Rescue, Hope Canine Rescue, whichever it is, I have to double check that. I keep mixing my words up. Doesn't matter. They were there, and they used the facilities to store the dogs during the rescue times. And then Pilots and Paws was picking up dogs from there to fly out. It doesn't appear Pilots and Paws is affiliated in any way in this. They just happened to have dogs there at their
facilities.
They were moving dogs.
Right.
So it seems to be the one rescue group and the owners of the facilities that are being charged with animal cruelty counts.
Okay, so we've talked about this before, and it's fairly new to me, so I just want to, you know, clarify this. Dogs are moved all over this country every day, mm-hmm. who are going to different rescue groups, going to their forever homes, whatever. And it's sort of like an underground, and people move them in their personal vehicles. Pilots and Paws moves them in planes, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So this was just one of their stopping off points.
Right. They had utilized the facilities historically because they usually had space. They could
mm-hmm.
do overnights there
right.
with the dogs. The original article did say that they were part of this, but they've been cleared of anything at this
right.
point. They're not involved. It
right.
was the one rescue group and the owners.
Well, it's a shame, and I really do hope that we find out at some point what happened to the dogs, because that's the key part of this. They're the ones who suffered and hopefully didn't meet a really bad end because of people who don't, who didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, of what they could do, this was probably one of the worst possible options.
Well, yeah. And, you know, my hope is, I'm sorry, but people just make me angry sometimes. And the woman who perpetuated this hoax really does, I hope she does some good jail time. I really do.
I hope so, too. I don't know Tennessee's dog laws well enough. I think that the fact that she filed the fraudulent police charges, that's probably going to get her in more trouble than if just the dog event.
Hopefully.
Right now, the only thing that's, besides the charges against the niece, the owners have 8 counts of animal cruelty against them. That's for the dogs that were remaining.
Okay.
There's still others, you know, again, the 14 dogs that are unknown at this point. No charges filed until they figure out what's going on with the dogs.
Right.
So.
Well, we'll follow up on it, guys. Terry will keep following this for us. And, say a little prayer for those 14 dogs.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing, man.
It is. It's very mm-hmm. disturbing.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going to go on to one of the most fascinating stories we've become aware of recently. thank you, Paul, for sending that link along to me this morning, and I shared it with Terry, and we got to tell you all about it. So, Terry, start the folks off. Tell them about these dogs in Russia.
Well, the story was interesting at all kinds of levels. One, it took place, it's in Moscow, and it's 35,000 stray dogs that cohabitate with the humans. They're the population of Moscow, which after you looked up, you said it was...
About 8.5 million people cohabitating with 35,000 stray dogs.
Peacefully,
yeah.
Cohabitating is the key there.
Yeah.
They exist in a complementary fashion.
It's phenomenal to me. It is the most amazing story. So why don't we start at the beginning and tell the folks how the article started, and it was a really sad beginning to the article.
It was. And I don't remember the dog's name. I think they did print it, but a dog living in one of the train stations.
Mm-hmm.
And not uncommon for dogs in that area to use those train stations as a place to live because of the cold.
Right.
You know, non-aggressive, generally peaceful. In this particular instance, this lady came in. She had a little dog and was carrying the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So the stray was barking at them, protecting.
Yeah, it's my territory.
Yeah, but not aggressive, just barking.
Right.
This particular lady pulled out a knife and stabbed the dog to death in the train station.
Well, that's just horrendous. But what I was flabbergasted by was Muscovite's response to the death of the dog, because what they did was they put a bronze statue in that train station in memory of the stray dog who was knifed to death.
That was very touching.
Wow. These folks just have their priorities straight. I think it's a phenomenal story,
and that was all donations. Can you imagine that? That's not state funded,
right? So cool. You guys rock, man. That's such a great beginning of the story.
Yeah.
But then Terry and I both are fascinated by canine behavior. And as we read on, these dogs are so amazing. There is a batch of them, not all of them, but a batch of them who ride the metros.
Yeah.
And they do it on a regular basis. And Terry, tell folks your response to that.
I found that really amazing, because typically when you think of an animal using a tool, you think of primates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some other animals do, but it's very rudimentary.
Right.
In this case, these dogs are using a tool. A tool man has built.
Right.
They get on in the same place every time. They get off at the same place every time. They know their route. And they're utilizing a tool. That's a lot of intelligence.
And they know the time the trains run.
Yeah. They know the time the trains run. They know where they're going. They know when they get off.
Nobody taught them that.
Yeah.
They figured it out on their own. And so that's intelligence.
Yeah.
That is reasoning and figuring out what works. I think that's just one of the coolest things I've ever read that's been observed of dogs.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a powerful tidbit of information.
It truly, truly is. So one of the things that really struck me in this article, because again, we read quite a bit about, you know, scientific studies in this country that behaviorists are doing on why canines do what they do, how they do it, the structure, the hierarchy of packs and that sort of thing. Amazing piece of information. The person who was studying these dogs came to the conclusion that rather than the dominant dog necessarily being the leader of a particular pack, it's the most intelligent dog. I think that is an amazing statement.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, because just being an aggressive dog doesn't ensure survival, but being a smart dog does.
It does, absolutely. And apparently this huge number of dogs have figured that out.
Yeah.
I think it's phenomenal. And the bottom line to this is we hope very much to be able to touch base with the woman who authored this article.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to interview her on Bark Radio. We want to know more.
Yeah, I think this was very cool. They've been, this one individual that she was talking about in reference has been studying these dogs for a long time.
Right.
And it was interesting, both the similarities and the differences in studying wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And his reference points in those on the tolerances of a domesticated wild dog versus a wolf.
Right.
And just so we clarify, it's not one pack of 35,000
right.
dogs. These are small sub-packs,
right.
but a approximate
total.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting. I found it quite amazing, the adaptiveness of dogs.
And I'm so impressed with the culture of Moscow, that the people there are just part of this. It's accepted as life in Moscow. I'm sure not everyone's a dog lover in that city, but it's the way life is. Day goes on just like any other, and, you know, can you imagine folks being in the city? I don't know, what's a city in the United States that has 8 million people? I don't even know.
Atlanta.
Okay, so imagine walking the streets of Atlanta and sharing those sidewalks with 35,000 dogs. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
And yet it works.
That's the cool thing, because it's really a cohabitation. They've accepted each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is.
And one of the things that I loved, a little tidbit from this article, was a dog was observed more or less napping, curled up, you know, I guess to the side of the sidewalk, but obviously paying attention to who was going by. And they're very good judges of character. And when that dog determined that a person might be an easy mark, they might have food that they would share, then he became animated, would go up to the person, sit in front of usually her, and say, "Excuse me, I'm cute, I'm smiling, you got anything for me?" They are making decisions left and right, these dogs, and using good judgment, and they do what works.
Yeah. Because some people would argue, well, that's scent-based. They smell the food. And
yeah.
I would argue that there might be some scent that gets their attention,
right.
But they're reading this individual.
There's something else.
Yeah, because there's going to be people with food that would just shoo them away.
Right.
Don't bother. Don't waste your energy.
Right.
And so there is an analysis that happens.
I think so. I absolutely believe so. Cool stuff,
cool
man.
Article.
Wow. So stay tuned on that one as well, folks. We'll see what we can do about contacting the author. And when we learn more, we'll share it with y'all.
Yeah, it's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a fun read in a world that sometimes doesn't give us enough positive dog stuff.
So. Absolutely. So you can find the link on Bark Radio's website. It's also on our fan page on Facebook.
Yep.
Enjoy it, folks. It's worth the read.
Yeah.
Take the time.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.